If you were with us last week, you may remember that we talked about Jesus as the good shepherd and our call as the sheep to help shepherd one another as well. Today's reading finds us in the Gospel according to John. In the chapter directly before this, Jesus had healed Bartimaeus, who was blind, which caused a bit of a kerfuffle with the local religious leaders. In his back and forth with them, Jesus talks once again about being the good shepherd, the one who guides, protects, and shelters the sheep. That's where we pick up the story in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. It's on page 978 in your Bibles. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, in regard to what he has given me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know, I get it. These leaders want straight answers. They're tired of parables and hints and scripture references and metaphors. "If you're the Messiah, cut the games and just tell us so we know what to do," they say. Wouldn't it be nice if Jesus would just come down here and set us all straight? Not in the fiery judgment sort of way, but in the, "No, this is what I meant. Go do this," kind of way. I mean, I would mostly be out of a job, but I would be okay with that. But Jesus tells them and us that he's already said what needs to be said. He has healed and cured, he has fed and shepherded, he has preached and taught, but they are not ready to see, to hear, to know who Jesus really is and what he might ask of them. He continues the shepherd metaphor, saying, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." But then he goes further, promising that these sheep will have eternal life and absolute security. No one will snatch them from my hand. I was talking just recently with a pastor from another denomination about what the ordination process is like in the Presbyterian Church USA. I laid out all the steps and the hoops and the song and dance that it takes to become a pastor in our denomination. And as I was explaining all of this, I was reminded of a moment when I was pastoring in Ohio before I came here to Parkwood. There are a couple of times in the ordination process when the whole presbytery, elder and minister representatives from all of the PCUSA churches in a particular area, has the opportunity to come together and examine a candidate for ministry. Basically, the candidate has to stand in front of a room full of pastors and elders and answer any question that gets thrown at them. Not terrifying at all. Unfortunately, in that presbytery, there were a couple of people who loved to use that time to try to trip up these students and candidates, to try to set them up for a big theological gotcha moment. One of those people stood up during one particular examination and asked the candidate, "Who is Jesus to you?" Now, everyone in that room, unfortunately, except for the candidate, knew that he would only accept one particular answer as correct. So she spends a few minutes giving a beautiful answer about Jesus as a teacher and guide for the ups and downs of life. But the questioner is not satisfied. He says, "Anything else?" She gives another answer. This goes back and forth for a few minutes while the rest of us are quietly rolling our eyes and trying to beam the words that we know he's looking for directly into her brain. Finally, he gives up and says, "Would you consider Jesus to be your Lord and Savior?" And she looks at him kind of strangely and says, "Yes, of course." And then he goes and sits down because he finally asked the question that he really wanted to know, and she at least agreed to what he considered to be the only correct answer for who Jesus is to us. His goal was not to learn who she believed Jesus to be. His goal was to see if she could read his mind and check a particular theological box. I tell you this story because in the past 10 years of ordained ministry, I have watched over and over and over again as Christians spent more time and energy trying to snatch other people out of Jesus' hands than they did trying to listen to and follow Jesus themselves. Saying, "You can't be a real Christian because fill in the blank." There's a lovely parable that goes around every once in a while about keeping your eye on your own paper, so to speak. It goes like this. One day, a guy, let's call him Peter, walks into his pastor's office and says, "I have a bone to pick with you." The pastor asks him to sit down and explain. Peter makes himself comfortable and says, "You don't preach enough about sin." The pastor is silent for a while, trying to figure out if he's going to argue with Peter or not, and finally says, "Okay, tell me what sin you're struggling with, and I'll preach about that." Peter immediately goes on the defense. "Oh, no, that's not what I meant. I don't want you to preach to the whole congregation about my sins." The pastor replies, "So you want me to preach about sin, but not the things that you're struggling with. Why would you want to hear a sermon about somebody else's sin?" Understanding, Peter left and never mentioned it again. There is a fine line between telling the truth, shepherding one another as we follow Jesus together, and theological fundamentalism, where everyone else must get on board or get out. Last week, I mentioned the PCUSA's commitment to freedom of conscience. This week, I want to read for you a portion of our Book of Order. This is the governing document for every PCUSA church in the country. This is from the section on church membership, but I want to give you a side note that will make sense in a minute. In the Book of Order, there are various levels of flexibility with certain rules and guidance. There are shall rules that must be followed. There are should, which is we would really like you to do it this way, but eh. And then there's may. So shall indicates a rule that is absolutely mandatory in every circumstance. So this is from the section on church membership, section G-1.0302, for those of you who know what that means. It says, quote, "A congregation shall welcome all persons who trust in God's grace in Jesus Christ and desire to become part of the fellowship and ministry of his church. No person shall be denied membership for any reason not related to profession of faith. The gospel leads members to extend the fellowship of Christ to all persons. Failure to do so constitutes a rejection of Christ himself and causes a scandal to the gospel. Unquote. What are the requirements for membership? That you trust in God's grace in Jesus Christ, and you want to be part of the church. That's it. That is the whole shebang. No fine print, no dotted line, no trick questions. I will admit, the first time I read that in the Book of Order, I cried a little bit, because I know that has not been everyone's experience of the church. When Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice, I know them and they follow me," he reminds us that we don't need to spend our time trying to figure out who's in and who's out, trying to guard the gates of Christ's kingdom ourselves. Instead, we get to hear the good news alongside all of God's people. You are a beloved child of God, so nothing and no one can pluck you from God's hands. Thanks be to God. Amen.